Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our text for this day, the resurrection of our Lord, obviously includes our gospel reading for today, Matthew's account of Jesus' resurrection and the women coming to the tomb. But also today we take a look at Romans chapter 8. Hear these words. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus ends our text for this morning. And what a text that is. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. A love that was shown to us in ways never seen before on Easter Sunday morning as Jesus rose from the grave. Now, there's nothing at all in this world that's worse than separation. Separation means law. Separation means that things aren't as they are supposed to be. God created us to be together. He didn't create us to be apart, not from Him nor from one another. Just think back to Genesis chapter 1, the Garden of Eden, the creation of the whole world. God created Adam. And then he looked down at what he had created, and he said, "It is not good that man should be alone." So Eve was created from Adam shortly thereafter. They were, quite literally, made for each other. God looked down, and he made sure that there was someone for Adam and that there was someone for Eve. But that making, that orientation toward one another, isn't simply about marriage. It's not only about husbands and wives and families and all of those sorts of things. It goes much beyond that. We're made. We are created to be in communion with one another. And not just with one another, but ultimately we're created to be in communion with God Himself. But sin separates us. Sin divides. It twists us and it turns us inward so that we don't look out for one another, but we look out for ourselves. That fundamental selfishness, that meanness, means that you've been torn away from the very life that God has given to you. The life that He made you to have. God created you for a life in Him, and He created you for a life with one another. Sin and death and hell have all tried their very best to tear all of that away from you. The good things that God has created you to be and the things that He has created you to do are not right in the way that God created them anymore. They're not anymore. God has sought you out. He has bought you back. And He has made you His own once again. That's what happened on the cross on Good Friday. It's what we meditated on just 2 days ago, right here in this very place. And we hear in the book of Jeremiah, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." That everlasting love, that faithfulness of God Himself is what was shown right there on the cross. And God's faithfulness to you in life continues past death itself and to a new life in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is triumphant over the grave. He's risen from the dead, and now, even now, he pleads for you before his heavenly Father. So make no mistake, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, both God and Lord has triumphed over all the forces that were arrayed against him in this sinful and broken world. That's what the empty tomb is all about. That's why, even in the midst of the confusion and fear of the women on that Easter morning, there is great joy in that proclamation made by the angel that he is not here, for he has risen just as he said. And his foes, the ones that Jesus vanquished when he went to the grave and came back out in the resurrection, those are your foes as well. But God has won the victory over them. And now that that victory is won, it is yours as well, and God gives you the spoils of that victory. He gives us the feast of victory because Jesus' triumph is our triumph. He gives us life because Jesus' resurrection is our resurrection. His resurrection from the dead means that we will never be forsaken and we will never be separated from him ever again. And that's the greatest love that's ever been shown. And it reaches beyond the grave and it reaches out to all eternity. This love is the very nature and it's the very character of who God is. We don't understand it. We can't understand it. All we can do is rejoice in it and know that the God of our salvation has given his all to us. Because Jesus died and rose again for us out of love. It's that rejoicing in his love that we just did as we sang his praises, as we stood up in the last stanza of that hymn that we just sang and said, "All glory to our Lord and God for love so deep, so high, so broad, the Trinity whom we adore forever and forevermore." Who could imagine that his love for us would be so deep, so high, so broad, that it encompasses the whole world? Who could believe that this love is for us? Well, believe it, because this love is for you. And it's the miracle of all miracles that we are loved by God because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It's not an afterthought. It's not a secondary message that is underlying the main plot. It is the main plot. It is the story here. There is no yes, but. The truth is that God's love is deep. It's high, it's broad, it's wide, and his love is for you. So what does that change for you? What's different on this Easter side of the grave? What's different now that we live here in the glow of the resurrection? The difference is, at least it should be, that when you love, your love doesn't simply come from you. Your love and your service to those around you is shaped in you by the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now when you give and sacrifice and love and suffer, you can do so in freedom. Because Christ has freed you from the suffering of eternal death. And now that Christ is risen from the dead for us, we can live with eternity on the horizon. But what we also know is that eternity is not just on the horizon. Eternity is actually here and now. We're living in it. Indeed, you're together here today with the whole church in heaven and on earth. That means that the saints and the angels, the prophets and the priests, the women who found the empty tomb, the apostles, and all the Christians of all time are gathered here today with you. Here in the house of the Lord, in the family of God, within Christ's bride, the church. They're all here with us, around this altar. For where Jesus is, his bride, the church, is also. And his bride, this church, the whole church on earth, is always complete. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are not separated by sin or Satan or death. So keep coming. Keep gathering. Come together as the church of God. Receive his gifts in word and in sacrament. Be reminded regularly that Christ was sacrificed for us and that he gives himself for the forgiveness of sins, for life, and for salvation. Rejoice with all the heavenly host. Sing and rejoice, for your King has come. He has come for us. And because of that, we can now celebrate the feast of victory, which has no end. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We stay.